Start Your Day, The Torah Way, Rabbi Moshe Akiva Brandeis.
The parasha begins with the words Vayeshev Yaakov. Rashi points out that the word Vayeshev is unusual. It would usually say Vayechi or Vayogor. Vayeshev is a reference to the fact that Yaakov Avinu wanted to relax. Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov, Leishev B'Shalva. He wanted to take it easy, so to speak. If we think about it, Yaakov went through terrible ordeals through his life, being confronted from the very outset by Esav and then Lavan. So finally, Vayeshev Yaakov, the children have grown up. Bikesh Yaakov, Leishev B'Shalva. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Leidayon Letzadikim, Mashem Asukan Olam Haba, is it not enough for the righteous? What is prepared, what is waiting for them in Olam Haba? They also want to relax in this world. And then, Yosef, the challenge of Yosef then comes upon him. Tokaf Olav Rogsu Shel Yosef. This is very perplexing. What did Yaakov want to do? He's an Ishtom Yoshevi Halim. Certainly he would want to sit and learn in his retirement towards the end of his life. What could Yaakov Avinu have wanted to do already? A tzaddik, and it's almost like Hashem says, a tzaddik may not relax, may not have it easy in this world. It's very difficult. A second problem in the very first Rashi on the parasha. Rashi points out the stark contrast between how the last parasha ends and how this parasha begins. The last parasha ends with the Alufei Esau, the descendants of Esau. Aluf, Aluf, Aluf. Even if you were half asleep during Kriyas HaTorah, you would have heard the Aluf, 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 Aluf. All the grandchildren and descendants of Esau. Now each one of them is an Aluf, a general, a chief of a tribe that became a nation, that created a culture. And they're just alluded to very, very quickly. Whereas, says Rashi, in stark contrast, when we start with Vayeshev, as soon as it comes to Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, it's chronicled very, very carefully, in detail. Each point is mentioned. So the Rashi brings a moshel, a parable to a man who's standing on the beach, who's standing at the ocean, and he has sand in his hands. And he's trying to find gems, diamonds, amongst the sand. He looks through the sand and stones that he finds in his hand, and as he comes to a diamond, he casts away the sand, he throws it to the side, after all it's not what he was looking for, takes a diamond and takes that home. Says Rashi, the Torah only wants to talk about the righteous, and therefore, when it comes to Esau's children and grandchildren, his story, we go through it very quickly. We enumerate his children, descendants, grandchildren, and then as soon as it comes to Yaakov and Yosef, we slow down, talk about them carefully, in detail. That's Rashi's moshel, and I don't understand it at all. If someone stood at this lectern or any other public forum and gave a speech, imagine you came in the morning, someone gave a speech here, and he started talking about, you know, he starts with Parshas Vayeshev, then he goes on to Sheva Brachos and tells you a vort on Inveya Geffen, then he gives you a little bit of about a Hesped, and then he goes on to speak about Parshas Hazinu, and then Simchas Torah, and he tells you, I apologize, it's just that I'm giving you all the information that I came across as I was on my search and looking for a speech for this morning. I'm just giving you all the different things that I came across looking for a speech this morning. Haven't taken anything out. It would be an insult to the intelligence of the audience, and certainly to their time. This is a Torah itself. This is not just a speech. If it's unimportant, don't mention it. I counted 25, not words, 25 psukim at the end of Parashas Vayishlach, enumerating the children by name, some of them what they did, who they married of Esau. I understand that we're going through it quickly, but still 25 psukim. The whole Maseches Kiddushin and Gittin is learnt from just a few words in the Torah. These are my two problems in the first Rashis of Parshas Vayeshev. The Michtav Melior writes in this week's Parsha, Dr. Vdesla, an Isoyan, a challenge, is not necessarily as a punishment. A challenge can also be to propel a person to higher levels. A person's reached level one, it's not game over. You pushed on to level two, level three, level four. Yaakov Avinu was challenged at every juncture by Esav. He said, from the very outset, from the very beginning, Esav's already challenging him in utero. And then at every junction in his life, he meets Esav again. Yaakov, we could say, learned in two yeshivas. He learned the yeshiva of his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka. What a beautiful place to have learnt how to behave, how to aspire to greatness. And then he went on to a second yeshiva, as we know, Shem Ve'eva. 14 years, he says, he didn't put his head down. It was the first time that he actually rested was when he had that dream of the ladder. Otherwise, he didn't lie down. He didn't sleep horizontally. 14 years of immense steiging. There was another yeshiva that is less spoken about that Yaakov learned in, with two very great Rosh Yeshiva. Those Rosh Yeshiva, and he steiged the most in that yeshiva. The yeshiva of Esav and Lavan. Those were his two great Rosh Yeshiva. Yaakov himself testifies. He says to Esav in his message, he says, I dwelled by Lavan. I was by Lavan for 20 years. In his message before he meets Esav in last week's parasha. And he says, by Yehili, I had shoir, oxen, chamoy, donkey, tzoin, eved, shifcha. Says the Medrash, what was he telling him? He's telling Esav a message that I have slaves and houses and properties. What's this message to Esav? Zok the Medrash, Tanchuma. Shoir, he's telling Esav, after dwelling by Lavan for 20 years, I have merited. Yosef, who's called Bechor Shoir. Chamoy refers to Chamoy Reishel Mashiach, says the Medrash, about which it says in the Tanakh, Oni V'reichiv Ala Chamoy. I have merited Mashiach will come from my descendants because I was by Lavan. Tzoin, Klal Yisrael, referred to as sheep many times in Tanakh. Eved is referring to Eved Hashem, the ultimate Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, will come from my loins. Shifcha, who refers to herself in Tanakh as, is Rus, who refers to herself in Tanakh as Shifcha. Says Yaakov Avinu to Esav, I steiged tremendously with my parents in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. But you want to know where I was zoicha to Mashiach, Klal Yisrael, all the Tanoim, Amiroim, Gemara, Mishnayos, everything that will eventually come from Klal Yisrael? From Lavan's house. It's not despite Lavan and despite Esav that Yaakov reached tremendous heights. It's because of Lavan and Esav. Being able to dwell in such a difficult society and nevertheless prevail is how Yaakov reached his heights. As he testifies himself. And therefore, Yaakov, towards the end of his life, is saying, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. I've gone through a Esav, I've gone through a Lavan, I've been at Shem Ve'eva and at my parents. Time for serenity. What could Yaakov have wanted to do other than sit and learn? A few years towards the end of his life, the children have grown up. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, says Rav Dessler, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Yaakov Avinu, that's for Gan Eden. That's for Gan Eden. You don't end here. There's another level. You've reached tremendous heights. Mashiach's coming from you. Tokaf Olav Rigsei Shel Yosef. Another challenge will come your way for you to reach greater heights. Chanukah is when the Chashminoim stood up against the Yevonim. The Yevonim, the Greeks, were in Eretz Yisrael for, we look at Chanukah as 8 days, but they were there for 180 years. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. 180 years of the tyranny of the Greeks was endured by Klal Yisrael. The Chashminoim, Rabbi Yechon and Kohen Gadol, Matisyo Vonov, when they stood up against the Greeks, we have to imagine it for a moment. As I was thinking to myself, imagine we walked in here this morning and the lights were off. So we wonder what's going on. Some default. But then you look across the street, you see all the lights of any moissed. You see Satmar from the distance, all the bottom midrashim across the street, all other bottom midrashim in town, all schools you're hearing. Electricity's out, the computers are down. And you start wondering what's going on. Slowly, the information filters through that there's a Russian cyber attack at all UK moissed. And they've shut everything down. They have cells all over the UK. And text messages are going out to parents, telling parents not to send their children to school, what the subject should be. This is years and years in preparation. They've had years and years to prepare this. This is across the world. You're starting to hear from America. How are we going to go against this? And this is going on for years and years and years. And then you and your family sit down at the breakfast table and decide, we're going to go and fight the Russian army. And you know they've got tank station, nuclear, but we're going to go and fight them. What we've got, we'll take some kitchen knives, we'll take whatever we have available. This is exactly what Matisyo Ivanov did. 180 years of absolute Greek power, rulership in Eretz Yisrael, during the Bayis Sheni, and then this family stands up and says, we're fighting them. Just a few people. And it's not an exaggeration, because the Chavetz Chaim, this is quoted by Nosson Vachtsvogel, he says the Chavetz Chaim, he has a Kabbalah, wanted to fight communism. Physically. The Chavetz Chaim, the elderly, short, frail Chavetz Chaim, wanted to physically stand up and fight communism. He was stopped. Some people held him back. And says Nosson Vachtsvogel, till the end of his life he regretted it. He felt it would have been the correct thing to do, like in the times of the Chashmonaim. To stand up with whoever would be willing to come, whichever Yeshiva Barachim would be willing to join him, to fight communism. To take that gvura as a family, to stand up to the Yevonim, to stand up against such a powerful enemy, is the understanding that the Nisoyan is to make me get to greater heights. That's the koyach that the Chashmonaim had. That's the koyach that Yaakov Avinu says he got from Esav Elavon. And so, Yosef, the challenge for Yaakov Avinu, is on his way to look for his brothers. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayimtzo'ehu ish, a man found Yosef. The first vart I'd like to mention on this Pasuk is from Chaim Sanzer. He says, How do we see in the word ish in this week's parasha that it's a malach, and the ish of last week's parasha, where he's only referred to as ish by the posuk, the man who wrestles with Yaakov Avinu throughout the night, how do we know that that's a sorry shalesov, a bad malach, so to speak? Zokt Reb Chaim Sanzer, you know, the malach, the man, last week's parasha, who wrestled with Yaakov Avinu throughout the night. He had all night to fight. Came to morning, Yaakov Avinu asked him one request. Barcheni, can you give me a bracha? He looks at his watch, the malach, and he says, sorry, I've got to go to Shacharis. Hashem comes first. He has all night to fight. He has one moment, which to give his, this man is asking for a bracha. Haven't got time. Avodas Hashem. This week's parasha, the ish who finds Yosef turns and he sees a boy, he doesn't know him, but he's lost. He turns around and says to him, can I find you the way? Are you looking for something? Can I help you find your way? He says, the first ish Chazal see in his behavior towards his fellow man is a sorry shalesov. That's a bad malach. A man who hasn't got a moment to give a bracha to someone who's requesting it after spending the night together. The second ish is trying to help. That's Malach Gavriel. This is Reb Chaim Sanzer. Beimtzeu ish, there's another point here, which Ramban himself says. Beimtzeu ish, Yosef was walking, trying to find his brothers. He's walking around, he can't find them. The natural course of events would be for him to go back to his father. I tried, I couldn't find them, return home. The Zokt Ramban Hagzeiro emes v'charitzos sheker. The Ribbono Shel'Olam's plan is true and will be realized. V'charitzos sheker, man's diligence is futile. A person can try, but at the end of the day, ultimately, the Ribbono Shel'Olam's plan will prevail, will be realized. Azoi zokt the Ramban. How does he see this? Yosef's looking for his brothers, naturally turn around. But there's destiny in the making. Yosef must get to his brothers. He has to be sold. He needs to go down to Mitzrayim to prepare Mitzrayim ahead of Klal Yisrael. He has to become the regent. Klal Yisrael have to go into Egyptian bondage. They have to go into Shibud Mitzrayim to be cleansified, to be able to prepare them for Matan Torah in the Midbar. They have to go through the Midbar and eventually come to Eretz Yisrael, build the Beis HaMikdash. This is Yosef walking towards his brothers, has to happen. No matter what natural events would usually take place, Yosef is going to get there. If it takes taking an angel from heaven, bring him down to this earth to get him there, the Ribbono Shel'Olam will get him to his brothers. As he's up to Ramban. The Atzas Hashem finishes the Ramban, he sokol. What the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants will be realized. It's going to happen. There's a beautiful story that connects to this from the end of the parasha. Reb Zalman Sorotzkin says this over B'Shem the Briskerov, who heard it from his father Reb Chaim. The only place it could have gone wrong is between me and Reb Zalman Sorotzkin. Like this, Napoleon, the great emperor, had already taken control of Western Europe, which was the wealthier, more successful part of Europe. And he then went on to take over, to conquer Eastern Europe, the more primitive parts of Europe. And as he did so, and having done so, he was now the ruler, the absolute ruler of an entire Europe. Napoleon was now almost larger than life, and he threw a party in Eastern Europe, his more recent acquisition. And he threw this big party at which all the thousands of people were invited, all of highborn positions, etc., and representatives of all religions. As he was looking around the tables, he noticed that there was no representation of the Jewish religion. And this party was supposed to show his absolute power, his vast lands. He wanted representation of every religion, every type, every nationality. So he asked his people to go out and look for the closest rabbi, and he wants him to come here and speak tonight. Not much preparation there. So he sent out his men, and they found a village nearby where there was a small village with a rav, and they come knocking on his door. He sees the soldiers of Napoleon in their obviously very colorful uniform. And he says, Napoleon wants to see you tonight at the party. He says, I'm not a person who deals with the kings and ministers. I'm just a rabbi of this small little village. And the men say, listen, when Napoleon calls you, you come. Prepare a speech on the way. We're taking you there now. He puts on his record, puts on his hat. He arrives at the party. Napoleon gives him a place of honor next to him. And he says, I'd like you to speak to the assemblage. This man stands up and he says, you all know the Bible. And in the Bible, in Parashas Vayeshev, Yosef, one of the brothers, ends up in prison. And he turns around to the butler, to the Sarah Mashkim, and he says to him, hoping to find his way out of prison, he says to him, Ki in Zichartani, so that you will remember me. He says, Rashi already asks, why does it because he will remember me? Because you should remember me. Please remember me. It should be a bakosha, not a reason. And his rabbi went on to say, you Napoleon, you conquered the entire Western Europe. Isn't that enough for you? You have power, it's where the wealth is, it's where success is, it's where the upper class people are. It makes sense. What made you use your resources? What made you go to the efforts of trying to get Eastern Europe as well? Primitive Eastern Europe. What do you have from it? And here you are in Eastern Europe. He said, I want to tell you why. You, Napoleon, your opinion, your life's mission and ideology is freedom for all. Wherever you go, you let people have equal rights. You let religious people have their freedom. He said, you've come now to Eastern Europe, where we Jews, for years and years, are suffering under our neighbours. Pogroms, murders, etc., etc. He said, do you know why you're here? I'll tell you why. So that we should have our freedom. So that we should be able to be religious, to be able to serve our God without problems, without having tyranny at our door at all points. He said, that's why you're here. He said, that's what Yosef says to Saramashkim. Why do you think you're in prison? It's unnatural for a butler who once has a fly. Who does he? He doesn't control flies. A fly falls into the cup on the way to the king, ends up in prison from the high position of Sar Hamashkim. He goes down into prison. Do you know why that happened? So that you should remember me to Paro. In order for you to go to Paro and remind him about my plight here in prison. Reb Chaim told the Briskarov afterwards, he told Reb Zalman Sorotkin, that the Napoleon enjoyed it very much and shaked his hands with both hands and said it was the nicest thing that happened that evening. So he did well. So Yosef is now the challenge for Yaakov Avinu. Tokaf olav rogsoi shel Yosef. Let's go for a few minutes into the challenge of Yosef. What happened there? It's perhaps one of the most difficult parashas in the Torah. The great Shivtei Koh, selling their brother, throwing him into a pit, wanting to kill him. What did Reuven think? Reuven wanted to save him. What was his opinion? What was Yehuda's opinion? When they threw him into a pit of Nechoshim Nakravim to save his life, how does throwing someone into a pit full of snakes and scorpions save their life? And why weren't they impressed when he came out of a pit full of Nechoshim Nakravim, that the Rebbeinu was obviously looking after him, for his life was saved? Wouldn't that impress you? This is Shivtei Koh. He came out alive from a pit full of snakes and scorpions. The brothers considered Yosef to be a roidef. They thought Yosef was doing what had to be done to Esav, to be sidelined, for the future is through Yaakov Avinu. They thought that what Yosef was doing was what happened to Yishmael. He had to be cast away. The future is through Yitzchak. They thought that Yosef thought the destiny of Klal Yisrael is coming through him, and the brothers have to be sidelined. And for that they considered him a roidef. Another opinion is a Navi Sheker. He's dreaming at night, telling us as if it's a prophecy. This is not a prophecy. It's just what he's thinking about during the day, because of his great endeavours of taking over the future of Klal Yisrael. And so he dreams about it at night. That's all. So he's a Navi Sheker, also Chayev Misa. This is a psak. He's Chayev Misa. What was Reuven thinking? Zok Demeshech Chochma. Reuven's thoughts were as follows. A Roidef is Chayev Misa B'dei Shamayim. B'dei Shamayim, you're only Chayev Misa from the age of 20. B'dei Adam, from 13. Yosef was 17. If he was 17, you have to leave it to Hashem. But the psak was there, so he had to do his little maneuvers to make sure he would be saved and hopefully taken back to his father. That leads us to the question, was it helping to be thrown into a pit full of Nechoshim Nakravim? He's going to die in a pit full of Nechoshim Nakravim, snakes and scorpions. Dr. Ramban, this, just like on Chanukah, 20 amas high, Lushalta Ba'ena. You don't see 20 amas high, is too high for the eye to catch. And therefore, Dr. Ramban, the pit was too deep. They simply didn't know that there were Nechoshim Vakravim there. Lack of information. They did not know that there were Nechoshim Vakravim there. And that also answers the other question. Nimrod was impressed when Avraham Avinu came out of the Kivshan HaEsh, the furnace, and was saved. The grace of Ovid Avodah Zarah Nimrod. Why weren't the Shvatim impressed when Yosef comes out of a pit full of Nechoshim and Akravim, snakes and scorpions, and comes out alive? They didn't know that there were Nechoshim and Akravim there. And then on they went Vayoichlu lechol lechem. Sorry? Right. The Posuk's telling you. The Posuk's telling you that there were Nechoshim Akravim in the boy. That's the fact. Yosef was saved. But it doesn't mean they knew that there were Nechoshim Akravim there. It doesn't tell you what they knew. Vayechlu lechol lechem. This is an amazing point. They just paskened Yosef Lemisa and threw him into a boy. And they went to eat lunch. Why is the Posuk telling you that they went to eat lunch? Second of all, the serenity. Even a judge, I would imagine, who just paskened someone in New York for the electric chair would find it difficult to start eating his sandwiches straight after, I would hope. There's some humanity left in him. 10 or 15 minutes, you know, give me a break. Go up and down the street. Zok the Sforna, it was a psak halacha. They knew they had done the right thing. It was l'shem shamayim. When a person does something which is absolutely correct, he stays with 100% serenity and tranquility. Rabbi Victor Miller, this I heard from the current Gates Hadrav, he himself was in the base of Medrash when this happened. He said he was once sitting in Flatbush, I think he was on a shidduch, he was already engaged. He was sitting in the base of Medrash of Rabbi Victor Miller. He said, as usual, Rabbi Victor Miller would walk in 10 or 15 minutes before Mincha. He would walk calmly to his place, open a chovas halvavas, learn Musa for 10 or 15 minutes, Mincha would begin. On this day, the little difference was someone was smoking in the Beis HaMedrash. For those of you who don't know, Rav Avigdor Miller's and smoking didn't exactly get along very well. And here there's someone smoking in the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Avigdor Miller. Quite an audacity, quite a chutzpah. Rav Avigdor Miller walks, as usual, to his place. He stops where this person is smoking, gives him two slaps across his face, says, "Murderer! Murderer!" But that's not the story. He then continues as calm as he was walking till that place, as if nothing had happened, sat down, opened his chovas halvavas, learnt for 10 minutes exactly as usual, without needing a moment to catch himself, without needing a moment to compose himself. That's the gadlus. That was totally calculated. That was 100% serenity. That was like a psak halacha. There was no anger. Vayechlu lechem. How come the shvatim can eat bread? Look, the Sforno. It was a psak halacha. It was done with total menuchas hanefesh. They had done it like the Sanhedrin of Paskin in Lishkas HaGozis. He's chayiv misa. He's got to be thrown into a pit, then sold. Totally calculated. There's no emotional decision here. We have to take a moment. We've thought about how Yosef is the challenge of Yaakov Avinu and how he became great through that. Let's take a moment to understand how these people stand up against tyrannies. How the Chofetz Chaim was thinking of fighting communism. How Matisyahu and his sons fight the Chashmei Noam. Where did he get that gvura from? This tremendous inner strength. The Medrash tells us that Yosef HaTzadik saw d'must yuknoi shel Yaakov Avinu. What does that mean, Rabbi Yisrael? The children come home from it in school, but what does it mean? He didn't think Yaakov Avinu knew what was transpiring. Yaakov Avinu didn't have a Ruach HaKodesh through the entire time that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So Yaakov doesn't know about this. Where's this inspiration that's helping Yosef contend with his challenge? I believe it's Yosef himself looking at himself and saying, do you know where you come from? Do you know what you represent? Do you know what you have to lose? If you succumb to this challenge of Eishes Potiphar, if you're seduced into this Avera, he looked at himself. Yuknei shel Aviv is where he comes from. The Medrash says that he saw the choshen, the breastplate, and he sees the stones, and he sees his name is missing. Your past, your future is at stake. Everything hangs in the balance for a few minutes. Vayigbal liboy b'darkei Hashem. The inner strength he got from the past, looked into the future, and he wasn't able to fall to the challenge. The Gvura of Matisyo Uvonov in the time of Hanukkah was similar. What were the Yevonim coming to destroy? What were the Yevonim coming to fight against? The three things we know about were Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, and Mila. Shabbos is the connection between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. Oisi. Beini Uvein B'nei Yisrael, we say tonight. It's the sign between the covenant, bris, the sign and the covenant between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Yevonim can't stand that. Human form, the human being, is the highest form there is. It's the most powerful thing there is. We don't mind intelligence, we don't mind Torah. You can learn for intellectual stimulation. But if you say it's Torah Hashem, take it out of your system. Take it out of the curriculum. It's not something which is connected to anything higher. You, the human being, is the highest form. That was the Yevoni ideology. And therefore, Shabbos, a connection between Hashem and a person, take it out. Bris Mila, a sign on the body of a connection between Hashem and people, take it off the medical system. And Rosh Chodesh is even deeper. Rosh Chodesh is the ability for a man to get to the level on a Beis Din that he decides when the timings of the Jewish calendar will take place, and thereby when Yom Tovim fall. That's things which are beyond the human being. The luminaries and the galaxies are not something we control. And here, power is given to someone who rises to such heights that he's in a Beis Din, that he can decide when Rosh Chodesh falls. Rosh Chodesh means Yom Kippur. Either Chayav Koris, you're not Chayav Koris. Rosh Chodesh means Yom Tovim. The power is given, man can rise to such heights, can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a way that he has the power to decide when Rosh Chodesh is. This is what the Yevonim couldn't stand. This is what the Yevonim want to eradicate. So Reb Chaim Friedlander, we say in Al HaNisim, we're going to say next week in Al HaNisim, Lashkichom Torah Secha. He says, why not Lashkichom Torah? To eradicate Torah from Klal Yisrael. He says, no. They had no problem with intellectual studies. They had no problem with stimulation coming from the mind. They were ideologists. Men who developed theories. But they had a problem with Torah Secha, when it's your Torah. If it's Torah Hashem, if this is Torah dictated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lashkicham Torah Secha. And Chukir Tzenecha too. He said, why Chukir Tzenecha? What about Mishpatim? What about Nezikin? What about Bava Kama, Bava Metzia? What about all those halachas that we have? Why Chukir Tzenecha? Zok Reb Chaim Friedlander, there are many parts of Torah, as we know. There's the Nezikin part of Torah. There's other parts of Torah. Chukir Tzenecha, we keep the Torah, even the parts which are logical. Hilchas Geneva, Hilchas Gzela, Hilchas Nezikin. We keep it as Chukim. We keep it because the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded. Some we understand more, some we understand less. But the reason why we keep the Torah is because the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded us. Chukir Tzenecha, they were upset that we keep the Torah like Chukim. Just like we keep Porah Adumah and Shatnas, the less logical parts of Torah, we also keep the rest of the Torah as Chukim. Chukir Tzenecha, this was the Yevoni ideology, to eradicate any connection to Hashem. This is the very Gevura that the Chashminoim, that Matisyo and his children, used to fight the Yevonim. Because to fight as a small family, to fight the tremendous power of the Greek army who had been in Eretz Yisrael for 180 years with absolute power, to sit there by the breakfast table and decide with your family, we're going to fight them, or like the Chofetz Chaim actually said, I will fight communism, takes a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam and saying, it's not only Derech HaTeva. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs his world Derech HaTeva, but we can rise above it, we can transcend Teva, we can transcend nature. To rise above the natural events and connect to Hashem and thereby be successful. It's true for Chashminoim. And it was true for Yosef as an individual. Not fighting great wars, But as an individual, with Eishes Potiphar, he connects to Dmus Yukni Shel Yaakov Avinu, to greatness, to the highest spheres, to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and he says, how can I do this? Vayigbal libo b'darkei Hashem. It's impossible. My whole future is at stake. My descendants are hanging in the balance if I succumb to this Avera today. And so Yosef has the gevura to fight. He sees the Nisoyin as something which can make him rise to higher places. And with the Shabbos and Bris Milah, which connects the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael, we brought to Rish Chodesh the final gzeira of the Ivanim Keneged Klal Yisrael, which is the power of a man to reach such high levels. On that I want to mention the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was once sitting at his table and a question was brought to him. The question was, a baby, ready for a bris milah, in this situation, would you do a bris bismani or not? So I'm safe. I thought about it and paskened that the bris milah should not be bismani, should wait. Sorry, the paskened that should be done bismani. Meanwhile, they did the bris, and the baby died. It was very uncomfortable. The Talmidim mentioned the Chassam Sofer. Speak to the father. Comes to Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer makes sure he meets the father. And he asks him, delicately, gently. He says, I'm sorry to hear, but did you ask anyone else before you came to me? The father's not so happy to tell him. He said, I did. I asked of David Deutsch, another Pesach and press book. The Chassam Sofer said to him, then there was no point in my psak, it was superfluous. Reb David Deutsch is the Talmud of the Noydib Yehuda. The Noydib Yehuda paskens in this situation, you don't do the bris on time. Once you had that psak, it was dangerous to do the bris. When you came to me, it was too late. An unfortunate ending. But the koyach of a psak, Rish Chodesh given to the hands of the Beis Din. And the second story, which finishes at least positively, is there was a Yid called Gershenhauser in Vilna, and he was packing his bags to move to Switzerland. He had a lung problem, breathing problem, and he was told that if he goes to Switzerland where the air is clearer, he goes to the Alps, he has more of a chance of a longer life, of longevity. And Reb Gershenhauser is packing his bags to move. Reb Chaim Volozhiner hears about it. Reb Chaim Volozhiner calls Reb Gershenhauser into his house. He says, I want to tell you, don't move. Boss says, I'm going for health reasons. The doctor said, let me explain something to you. The lung problem you have is a Shailen Shulchan Aruch and Hilchus Treifus. In Switzerland, they pasken like the Ramah. The Ramah paskens in this situation, it's a Treifah. It won't live the year. It won't live out 12 months. Here in Volozhin, although we usually go with the Psak of the Ramah, the Shagas Arya in this situation, Hilchus Treifus, paskens that we go with the Mechaber, who says that it's kosher. Stay here, you'll be safe here. He stayed there and he lived a long life. What we see is, going back, the challenges that come to a person are there to spur him on to higher levels. And the master plan will be realized, whatever happens. And it's Ehu Ish. It'll take a malach to come from heaven to get the person to his destination. For Klal Yisrael to get to their destiny, if Hashem wants it to happen, it will happen. And the koyach that people take, the gvura that it takes to fight, whether as an individual or whether as an am, comes from our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the koyach and the heights that a person can get to with that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is to be able to connect to such a degree that teva, nature, whether lungs or health, is in the hands of man. Thank you.
Jesus.